Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sister Linda, and all of you. God bless you. It has been an honor sharing these thoughts with all of you, and it's a privilege and opportunity that I don't take for granted. I am very thankful to all of you, Sister Linda, and our President, Pastor Kirk Thomas. Thank you so much. This has been an honor for me and also a blessing for me. It has brought me closer to the Lord. Today we are going to take a look at the last topic that that we'll deal with, finally entering the promised land. And for that, I'll be sharing my screen here. We have entitled the topic of today, The God of the Broken Dreams. And if there is somebody here who thinks that his or her life is over and that there is no way out and that you messed up so bad there is not a second chance for you, let me tell you that there is. God is on his throne. He loves you and he still has plans for you. He is not over with you. He says, I know the plans that I have for you and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So if there is anybody tonight, that is this evening, that is thinking today, that is thinking that it is over, and you are saying, well, but you don't know what I have done. I have messed up bad. Well, if you have messed up bad, we have a great Savior for big sinners. Yes, and he is bigger than your mistake. Well, you don't know what I have done, you might say. Well, I will tell you, well, I know what he has done. And that's what really matters in this case. We're going to take a look today, the last episode of how Moses dealt with all the things that we have been seeing throughout the week. And what happened finally, the faithfulness and the mercy of the Lord. Beloved, we do not know how merciful God is and how much he loves you. We have to accept that by faith and to say, Father, I bring to you my mistakes, my sins, my failures, my happiness. I give everything to you. Do your will in my life. In the name of Jesus, somebody say amen. Amen. Yes.
Amen.
So now we are going to take a look. Do you remember that we departed from Ramesses all the way down to Sukkot, if you could see my cursor, all the way down here, and then we cross the sea, the Red Sea. Usually it's believed, you know, that it is in the middle, but it cannot be because the first stop was Mara. Remember Mara, the place where it was the bitter waters. And then from there we went all the way down to Mount Sinai, where we said it ends today. Remember the Levite said, you know what, it ends today. People might not change. I am going to change. You may keep worshiping the idol. I am not going to do it. It ends today. Generational curses, family dysfunctions. Today is the day to start working on it. It ends today. And the Lord blessed them mightily. And all the way up through the desert of Paran and Sin, we kept going until we arrived to Kadesh Barnea. And this was where the people didn't want to go in. First of all, they said, we want to send some spies, you know. The Lord didn't say send spies. He said go in, but they didn't. And they brought the idea to Moses. And surprisingly, Moses said in Deuteronomy, in chapter 1, 2, and 3 and ahead, he says, it seemed good to me. So they went, and we remember what happened. They brought that horrible report that confused and brought a disaster to the children of Israel. And the Lord was angry with Israel, the Bible says in Numbers 32:13, and made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the entire generation that sinned in the Lord's sight had died. That was the case. It is amazing because they were so close, but so close to the promised land. They didn't have, they were just a few miles, as we will see right now. 40 years later, they are back to Kadesh Barnea. So they wander in the desert. The people saw their cousins and families and parents dying, falling dead in the desert. This is what happened there. In these 40 years, they said, we seem like grasshoppers to them. That's what we look. And they went into the desert and died like grasshoppers. My friends, amazing. What our head can do to us, beloved. That is why we need to accept and believe what God says about you. Somebody say amen. Because these people saw themselves as insects, as victims. And they died as insects and as victims. But you are not an insect or a victim. The Bible says that you are a warrior. You are a lion. That you are an eagle. That you are a child of God. And that you are destined for greatness. That you are destined for greatness. To overcome. To get up. You have in your corner the greatest referee ever. The greatest coach ever in the history. God is with you. And when he says, let's go in, let's get up, open the windows, get out, take some fresh air, it's not over, I am with you. We have to say, yes, Lord, I don't believe it, I don't feel it, I don't see it, but I will throw the net in your word. I will trust you, I will believe you, Lord. I will walk as according to what you say, not according to my feelings. They didn't do that, my friends. And after 40 years, you will believe that they learned something, that they actually said, you know what, now that we are back in Kadesh Barnea, my friends, let us remember what happened last time. We were just across, and you know what happened. People began to, they saw the fruit, they saw the evidence, they saw everything, and they decided not to believe in God and to believe in themselves. And you later on see the book of Hebrews talking about lack of faith, and that is why they couldn't make it. In other words, they didn't believe God's report. Remember that when we discussed that during the week? They didn't believe God's report. They believed their own report created by their own imagination in their heads. Our heads will drive us crazy. Our heads will lie to us. You know, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful. It will tell you things about you that are not in agreement with what God has said about you. And we need to decide if we are going to believe God or we are going to believe our own imaginations. Catastrophic, defeating, victimizing imaginations. It is not easy, beloved, because the head is like a wild horse that wants to run its own way. But we have to take that horse and bring it back to agree with what God says about you. Somebody say amen. We have to bring it back. We have to remember what the Lord said to you. Yes, we have to remember that. Beloved, it's not easy, and we can achieve it by reading his word, by listening to his word, by it. Now we have the whole books in YouTube and in other places that you can actually listen to them, by meditating in his word, in order for us to cleanse our heads from these false concepts that were implanted. We have been brainwashed by a lot of sources, making us believe, all of us, regardless of color of skin, we are being brainwashed into believing that we are something contrary to what God has said. And they did it. And you would believe that they learned something in 40 years after seeing their cousins and brothers and sisters and parents dying. Right? That's what we believe. But we are wrong. They didn't understand. They didn't learn anything. And when they got to Kadesh Barnea, there was no water in Kadesh Barnea. So they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. Look at this. We are It's like saying, like, people, we did this already 40 years ago. You know, we took this class already. We failed it then, and here we are doing the same thing over again. I mean, what's going on here? And you will see in life people that repeat their story over and over and over and over again. Churches that have been fighting since who knows when, and you go next Sabbath and they will be still fighting. Somebody needs to stand up and say, what's going on? I need to change. I need to improve, because in the end, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Just like the Levites did at Mount Sinai. They say, no more. No more. And you know who did that again later? Joshua did the same thing. He said, listen, if you want to cross the river and go back to Egypt and worship all the gods, you go ahead. But me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I am sure that Moses would have said, and if my house doesn't want to worship the Lord, then I will worship the Lord. I am the one that need to change. They didn't. And they did exactly what was done 40 years ago. They blamed Moses and said it would have been better, so much better, if we had simply died with the rest of our relatives before the Lord. Why have you brought us? Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord to this wilderness for us to die here with our livestock? And now they added a few more details to the complaint that were not necessarily present last time. They said, why have you brought us out of Egypt to bring us to this wretched place? It's not a place of grain or figs or grapes or pomegranates, and there is not water to drink here. You see, now what has happened, instead of learning, we have actually enlarged the complaint and the blame game, the guilty tricks. There are some scholars that say, what is going on here? Because even until today, the area that has been identified as Kadesh Barnea is rich in water. This is actually the irony of the place. So, for example, Wilson says that it is probably the wells that were giving water 40 years ago were dry by this time or in this season. They were there in the month of Abib, first month, or Nisan, and that will be then between March and April. So he says that probably they were dried. But then Lightfoot, in a book entitled Talmudic Hebraica, he says that there is a problem here, and that maybe they were in another place, in Kadesh Barnea, but perhaps in another area. And that in this area, there were not the fruits and the things that they were in the area that they were 40 years ago. Like, for example, grains and figs and grapes. Or that this area didn't have water. You know, it just didn't have water like the one that they were 40 years ago. But he concludes the argument by saying that, regardless of the situation, the blaming, the guilty tricks, and the complaints against Moses were based on prejudice and a sense of entitlement. Why have you brought us up? Why haven't you done this? It's complicated, because then there is an irony hidden in this verse. And the irony is that they are complaining about water in a place where there is water, but that maybe they wanted Moses to bring it to them and give it to them without them doing anything. There is a lot going on here. But for the time being, we will just say that these complaints and these guilty tricks and these accusations against Moses got to Moses. They got to Moses. And this is the map I wanted to show you. Look how close they are. Kadesh Barnea is just a few miles away from the Promised Land, 30 to 35 miles. Moses is thinking, saying, Why are we doing this to ourselves and to our children? Why are we doing this? We were here already. We have covered this material. This is the second chance for us to go in. And we are doing not the same thing that we did last in the last 40 years, but worse. We need to sit down with ourselves and check what we are doing. We have to have to ask the Lord to give us the humility to say, let me evaluate myself and stop blaming others for things that are not working. I cannot spend the rest of my life saying, you have the fault and you have... No, I have seen people without arms and without legs and they're having a full life. You have two arms and two legs. You can make it too. This is Moses here, confused. However, he doesn't show it yet. And immediately, when he hears that and the record in the Pentateuch, in Numbers and in Deuteronomy says that they wanted to stone him, Moses and Aaron turn away from the people. You need to see this. You need to see this. There are some people you cannot engage, beloved. They were never loose, ever, ever, ever. It looks like as if our ministry is to always be right and never admit, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I need to change. Maybe I need to approach it. There is a better way to do this. But they didn't. They were locked down. They had that slave mentality. Everything was the past, and going back to Egypt, And Moses, after seeing that for 40 years, big hand to Moses for doing that, he said, listen, we are making miracles, okay? We have 40 years making miracles. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. We have 40 years making miracles and they don't believe. What do you think? What would make you think that if we go now and start a fight with them, they will believe and change? And so they turn away and went to God. I love this, and it reminds me David in 1 Samuel chapter 16 ahead, when he went and heard a Goliath cursing and saying everything, and his brother Eliab came to insult him and minimize him, and the Bible says that he said, what did I do? And he turned away from Eliab. You need, my beloved, in everywhere where you are, tomorrow you are going to work, and this is probably a word for somebody, and that person will be right there. Kadesh Barnea will be right there. Goliath will be right there. And probably today is the day, as that song says, for you to say, no, nothing that I say or do will change the mentality of these people. Let me just turn away and take it to the Lord in prayer. I hope somebody is saying amen. Why? Well, because you are going to die. You're going to go crazy. It is time for us to accept the fact that we have been for the last 40 years dealing with coconut trees and you're expecting mangoes. Beloved, you're gonna go crazy. Mangoes are not coming. It's a coconut tree and it's time for you to accept it. When you accept it, you will have more peace. Mm-hmm. And when those big coconuts are falling there, trying to smash you, you will move away and let them fall and actually even drink the water. Why? Because you have understood finally, you have accepted finally that you are dealing with coconut trees. Nothing wrong with coconuts. Coconuts are great. It's the giant nut, and you and I, we need that the protein, and also we need the fat that it has for our brain. Amazing. Good, but it's not a mango. And if you are waiting for mangoes, you are barking at the wrong tree. And some of us in our workplaces, even sometimes in our homes, I hope not, or churches, God forbid, we are waiting somebody to call and say thank you, we appreciate you, and we love you, or good job, and it's not happening, and there you are crying, and depressed, and anxious, because you're expecting that. No, it's not gonna come, and it will come from the Lord. In fact, sometimes the Lord will bless you through people that you will not expect. The blessing will come, the affirmation will come, the affirmation and the love, the acceptance, it will come from other sources, but you are focused on, no, I want it from here, and the Lord is blessing you somewhere else. It's time to say, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, open the eyes of my heart, and open my hands for me to let go and accept, Father, that I am dealing here, and do your job. Don't hate them, don't fight them, don't curse them, don't resent them, don't be bitter. Simply accept that this is the reality. And you will see that when you do that, oh, you will breathe, beloved. You will be free because finally you have accepted that you have a coconut tree. And watch out, because maybe you are the coconut tree, right? Amen, somebody. I know I'm a coconut tree, and I am the one that I'm sorry. I am the one that needs to change. Amen. They turn away. They brought it to the Lord in prayer. They fell on the entrance of the tabernacle. The Bible says, face down, flat. It's a position of prayer that we have forgotten for some reason. And I'm not saying again that we should do this in the divine service, but when you are at home and you are your little space there where you communicate with the Lord, think about it. And the glory of the Lord appeared and spoke to them. The Lord answered to them. He came to rescue them. Tell me, what is going on? Lord, look what is happening. And the Lord said, listen, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You and Aaron, take the staff. The staff, that special staff. It's just to remind them that he is with them. The staff that began the miracles over there. Since they were in the desert, when he was alone, that staff, take it. Assemble the entire community and speak to the rock. And you will provide water from the rock for the whole community. Look how humble is the Lord. He's saying he is going to do all of this, but then he said, you will provide water. It wasn't Moses, but God doesn't mind who takes the credit as long as the work is done. God is not looking for the spotlight. He doesn't be the man of the hour. He doesn't have to be the man of the hour. He doesn't have to be the shining star. He doesn't have to have the spotlights. He prepares the platform for you to shine. This is very humble from the Lord. And he is now preparing everything. And he said, and you will do it. Look how beautiful is the Lord. And he's telling you the same thing. He's saying, yes, you can do it. I have equipped you. I have given you talents. I have enabled you. I created you. I know you. I am with you. You can do this. Together, you know, we can do it. This is the Lord telling you, because I don't know what you're facing. But he's telling you that it's not over. The well is not dry. You will provide water for these people. Whatever your situation is, he's saying he is with you. And so Moses, the humble Moses, the obedient Moses we have seen in all the dissertations we have been exploring, the chapters and the devotionals, that humble Moses once more obeys the Lord as he has always done from the beginning. He took the staff, check. He and Aaron assembled the people, check. But then suddenly he's changing the script. I imagine the Lord saying again, what's going on in here? Because Moses, instead of speaking to the rock, he shouted to the people. That was not in the script. I am sure the Lord, looking at the script, said, and the angel, what is he doing? I didn't tell him to do this. I didn't. He shouted to the people instead of talking to the rock. And not only that, he added a little bit more, and he called them names. He called them, you rebels. And then he struck the rock twice with the staff. In other words, he did completely the opposite. He didn't speak to the rock. He shouted to the people. He didn't speak to the rock. He called them names. He brought the staff that was not supposed to do anything. And he took it and hit the rock. Not only once, but twice. It's the first time that we see Moses here losing it. And Psalm 106 says that incorrect words came out of his mouth. The Hebrew word says that he was babbling. He lost it. And that is very significant, because in the book of Acts, Stephen says that he was a powerful man of words. And now you see this powerful man of words babbling, losing their control and losing it. They got under his skin. And instead of speaking and leaving the staff alone, he took the staff and hit the rock. Beloved, they finally got Moses. I imagine the kingdom of hell celebrating. The enemy in his in front of his desk, just reading the newspaper and see how things were going, when a bad spirit came in and said, "Boss, we got him." And he said, What do you mean we got who? We got what? Moses. Finally, boss, you did it. We did it. I imagine them celebrating and jumping. 40 years, and amazingly, Moses was defeated. Not through the Canaanites, not through the Amalekites or the others. It was defeated through his own people, beloved. This is amazing. When you receive the hard blows from your own family, you think about and you love, probably back home, that you are sending and supporting, and suddenly, boom, the hardest blows come from those closest to you. You remember what happened to Jesus too. And they are celebrating. Moses is over. It's done. And God is so merciful that Numbers 20, 9 to 11 says that the water came out of the rock abundantly, and the congregation and their livestock drank. So here you have a God that works through you despite your mistakes. This is too much mercy, and that will take us the eternity to study. How is it possible? How is it possible that the Lord is still work through with Moses despite of this? But of course, there was a price for this mistake. There was a price. Some people get mistaken and they say, "Well, you know what? I have been doing wrong and God is still use me. I have been doing wrong things and people are still being baptized. I have been doing incorrect things and being immoral, and still God blesses me." Well, you know, the Lord will work with you, through you, or despite you. You know, and we don't want the Lord to work despite us. We want the Lord to work with us and through us. Somebody say amen. And it is difficult to confuse. It is dangerous to confuse these two. And to rest thinking that because things are still going well, you can continue doing wrong, mistreating others, abusing others, putting others down, created havoc in churches, workplaces, or in the family, and then go and share the word and see how people are being converted. The thing is that God will use a rock to save somebody. Once he used a donkey, he can use anything, and that shouldn't make us feel that, well, you know, then it's okay. Sadly, it wasn't okay, and Moses then said, "Oh, my Lord, what have I done? What have I done? I was told to speak to the rock." And I would like to, at this moment, beloved, to share this with you. You were not called to hit the rock, to insult the rock, to minimize the rock, to humiliate the rock. You were not called to go to the whatever it is that you have influence and denigrate the rock. Nobody has been converted by being beaten and by being scared to death. No. The mission is to speak to the rock. Text the rock. Call the rock. Email the rock. Phone the rock. But the rest belongs to God. Don't lose it. Look what happened here. He lost it. This is very important. And when I am speaking about a rock, I'm not talking about that rock. I'm speaking about the children of Israel, because, beloved, that rock was softer than the hearts of the children of Israel. So much so, God was so sure about that he told Moses, "Speak to the rock. And as soon as you talk to it, it will bring water. It's like saying, I have been talking to these people for 40 years and they don't listen. You just have to talk to that rock once and the rock will obey immediately. And you see this in the Bible. God speaks to human beings for 400 years, for 120, for the amount of years that it is, and they don't listen, and he speaks to the animals once, and the animals listen immediately. Here we have a rock that is softer than the children of Israel, a rock that has been there forever, that hasn't been a single miracle, and obeyed the Lord immediately, contrary to the children of Israel. This is one. But remember, beloved, you are not called to fight the rock. Please remember, because that will make a difference in your mental health, in your spiritual health, and your emotional health. Rocks belong to God, and your job is to speak to them. Remember those dry bones. The Lord, Ezekiel said, what is going to happen? And the Lord said, speak to the bones. You have been called to share God's love, not to save the world, to share God's love. We already have a Messiah, we already have a Savior, and he's doing a great job at saving people. Your job is to share the word, to spread the seed of the gospel and leave it there, at home, in church, in the workplace, and also be patient with yourself in the same manner. Beloved, but Moses didn't, and he got it wrong. After 40 years, this man who had kept that temper in check, lost it immediately, thinking about everything that has been said and being done, the ungratefulness, the gossip, the slander from people that are supposed to be marching to Zion doing these things. All these things got into his head and he went crazy. That is one lesson. But there is another one, beloved, that I want to share with you about this incident. And that is that he was the meekest, the humblest man in the world. On the face of the earth, that is Numbers 12, verse 13. He was the humblest man in the face of the earth. And this is very scary and important, because what it means is that in Kadesh Barnea, there are people capable of driving crazy even the humblest, meekest, tender, most tender, more patient man or woman on the earth. There are people who will work you until you lose it. And when you lose it, you are the one to blame. Nobody will remember that they have been working against you for the last 40 years. But if you lose it, you are in the news. Remember this. There are people in Kadesh Barnea whose ministry is to destroy. And I'm not saying this out of any resentment or anything. We have seen families destroy because of people in Kadesh Barnea. They have killed people and they're still there, singing and praying, and they are being still worshipped there. But they haven't even recognized what they have been doing. They seem to not care. I do not know, beloved, and I hope this doesn't get me fired now. I do not know if it is that we have lost the ability of self-checked evaluation. I do not know that, but there are people whose ministry is to complain and find fault with everything. They don't help. They don't assist. They never say, how can I help? This is a beautiful word, beloved. How can I help? I love to say that. How can I assist? They don't do that because they have this sense of entitlement. They think that they are little gods. I am going to get so fired. It's like control freaks, whose little kingdom is that tiny church, and that's all they know. And if you touch it, there is a rumbling immediately at Kadesh Barnea. Not only in church, of course, also in families and in the workplace. And probably I'm talking to a CEO going through the same thing that is going to listen to this message in the radio or YouTube. the reality is, beloved, that there are people whose mission is that. The Bible says that there are some people in the night, they go to sleep. They don't sleep just thinking how to make your life a living hell. You know, and that is why I think that there are some people. Okay, no, I will not say that. Let me just say, yeah, because it's impossible. You need to understand, beloved, so you don't end up like wonderful, beautiful, amazing Moses, a man that is patient, a man that was the humblest, meekest, more tender, more patient man lost it with the people at Kadesh Barnea. If they did that to Moses, what are they going to do to you? Take care of your brain. Take care of your heart. Take care of your family. It will never be enough. It doesn't matter what you do. It will never be enough. Psalm 106 says, and because of them, it went bad with Moses. Because of them. And Moses himself in Deuteronomy 1, 2, and 3 and ahead says, and 32 says, and the Lord got angry at me because of you. So Moses was aware of this, that some people are capable of sending you straight to perdition, and they will carry on as nothing. Beloved, I think that there are many things, many undiagnosed things among us. I agree, and I heard Dr. Martin Luther King saying this, and I was so amazed. I was like, whoa, this is an amazing. He said, we all need help. We all need help. We are all struggling with some sort of mental issue. But there are people who do not want to change, and they do think that because we are in church, we have to put up with their abuses and their bullying. And even worse is the fact that in some places, they have a group that enable them and support them. Oh, no, it's true. He's just breaking everything, but he's a good person. Oh, no, we just need to pray. Really? We have been praying for the last 40 years and nothing is changing, so probably we have to do something else about. I believe in prayer, don't get me wrong. But also, if a building is on fire, and I see everything falling apart, trust me, beloved, I believe in prayer, but I don't think I will kneel down to say, Lord, is it your will that I get out of here? I will see exit and tennis shoes, and I will run. There are some things that are practical, beloved. And I think, beloved, that there are some people that behave in the church in ways that they will never behave in other places because they will get fired. And on the day that the church stands up and say, we will not admit, tolerate, and accept abuse, until that day it will be. These bullies will understand that they will be held accountable regardless of how much or what, or whoever they are connected to. I'll leave it there.
Amen.
On that part, beloved. And I have to correct myself, and I have to talk to myself and see myself and evaluate myself to see if I am one of them. And if I am one of them, then I need to say, it's time to stop it. It's time to stop it.
Yeah.
It's time to stop it in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We need to, amen. I need to sit down with Pastor Juan and tell Pastor Juan, you are very handsome and very cute, but you need to change. Somebody say amen to the first one and to the second.
Amen.
Beloved, so don't hate them. Don't curse them. No, don't do it. But be aware. We need to educate ourselves. There are a lot of things out there undiagnosed. I will leave it there, and we will carry on. They got Moses, beloved. They got Moses. Don't let it, please. Do not let these people that are never and will never be satisfied with anything that you do get you, destroy you, destroy your families. Beloved, take care of yourself. Take care of your family, your wife, your children. That's your first Jerusalem. Moses lost it. Moses lost it, beloved. Can you believe something like this? A man that spoke to God face to face. Something that he did is that he had Caleb, Joshua, and Aaron, as you could see there. you two need to identify your Caleb, Joshua, and Aaron, with whom you can speak without being condemned, before whom you can be you without being told, well, you are an elder. Why are you behaving like, but you believe, but you know the Bible. Somebody before whom you can cry. We need that. And if we need to see, to call a Cornerstone Counseling Service, we will too. Because, beloved, if God forbid, we hurt our legs and somebody breaks his leg, I'm sure that you will pray, but I'm also sure that you will call the ambulance too. And we also have a spiritual and emotional skeleton. And if a emotional bone is broken, we will need also some help. I'm rushing now. And so, beloved, they go from there. After he says that, the Lord tells him in Deuteronomy 32, the Bible says that they have a conversation. And God says, what was that? I told you to talk to the rock. I'm so sorry, Lord. Listen, you are not going in. You are not going to see the land. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 3:25-27, that he begged the Lord, please, Lord, let me go in. Please, Lord, you know I have been working for this. This is my dream. Lord, please, let me go in, Father. Let me go in. I don't want to be anything. I will sit down in the back of the church. I don't need to be an elder or a pastor or a leader. Nothing. I just want to go in. Please, Lord. And the Lord told him, I don't want to talk about this. Can you believe God talking like that? Say, I don't want to talk about this. Go to the mount, climb the mount and die there in the Mount Pisgah, in the region of the Mount Nebo. And so the beautiful, humble Moses came down and went to the mountain. He got up there. This is the map that I would like to share with you now. Let me see. I have it right here. This is the place where they were before he died. If you could see here, it's called Beth Peor. Deuteronomy 32 says that go to the mountain and die there. And you will go to the mountain that is to Pisgah, that is in front of Jericho. So this is what Deuteronomy 32:3 says. And you could see here Jericho. You see here the River Jordan. And this is Heshbon. This is Beth Peor. This is where they are now. Yeah? And this is the Habadim Mountains there, which is Nebo and Pisgah is right here. This is so close, beloved. You could see how close it is. And he died just seconds before making it. This is between Ammon and Moab. And I'm giving these details because you will see how specific is the Bible when it says that is in the region of Moab, which is around this region right here. Yes, and when you read Deuteronomy 32 and Deuteronomy 3, you will see this region there. So a little bit closer, right? This for you. Beth Peor is here. This is the mountains. This is where Moses died. Look how close it is. And you see the Jordan here, right? This is Jericho here. We remember that they went to Jericho and took it and then crossed the river Jordan here. Jericho right in front of Canaan. Now, this is the region where he dies. You see the Abarim here, the mountains. And here you see the sea for Canaan. Yeah, I did this one for you. You see that we have mountains here and we have mountains there. And this is the Dead Sea. And it's about 427 meters below the sea level. And that is why some scholars say that Moses would not have been able to see the whole land. And actually, they believe, many, many Christians believe, that God showed the land to Moses. But he might have seen part of it from here. Yes. This is the route, beloved, that they took then finally before he died. So they went here in Kadesh Barnea. They go all the way down to Hesbon Geber. Remember that we mentioned that. And then when you review the talks, you will see it there. They go all the way up to Punon. Look at here the brook, also mentioned in the Bible. they go to the mountains here, the Abarim, in front of the Red Sea. This is where Moses died. From there, they go to Jericho, you see here, going up to Jericho, and then they cross the land right here to Canaan. And finally, they made it to the land of Canaan. This is the final talk, that the final cross right here. Moses dies here, and it looks like God was done with him. Nothing could be done. Moses messed up bad. But beloved, let me tell you this. I want to look at you while I will tell you this. We have a God that has plans for you. And when God has plans for you, not even death can stop
it. Amen.
You heard that, beloved?
Amen.
I hope
Amen.
You believe it. Not even death.
Amen.
Nothing can stop it. Moses went to the mountain and he repented. I'm sorry, Lord, for what I did. And he cried. That was the part that the enemy didn't see. The enemy only saw when he fell, but the enemy didn't see when he repented and he changed.
Amen.
That's what the enemy does today too. And that is why in some places when Brother Charles or Sister Maria is proposed for something, somebody says, no, they can't, because in 1921 they did this, that, and that. But they haven't seen the change. God has seen it. The enemy didn't see
Amen.
It. But Moses repented. You know what else Moses did in the Bible when he's going all the way up to that in Deuteronomy 32? He blessed the tribes of Israel. The same people that destroyed him, he blessed them. One Mercy. By one. Moses was not going to take that poison with him. If he was going to go down, he was going to go down clean. Not bitter, not angry. Because somehow, he said, if I am going to die, then let me at least then die in peace. Lord, I release them in your hands. And there died Moses, the servant of the Lord. It takes a lot of maturity to bless those who curse you, those that you know that as soon as you turn your back, they are calling and phoning and texting and emailing and gossiping. It is hard, but it's the right thing. Pray for them. Bless them. Lord, I feel angry. You could say it, but I want Lord to pray for them. I leave this in your hands. You do justice however you want. Remember what Paul said when Alexander the blacksmith was giving him a hard time. He said, Alexander is giving me a lot of trouble, but may the Lord repay him according to his will, according to his deeds. And the Bible says that when they cursed Jesus, he didn't curse back, but committed himself to the God of justice. Don't let them poison you. Moses died. Yes. Moses failed. But he said, I trust in the God of mercy. Lord, I am in your hands. I am sorry for what I did. Beloved, and when you do that, the Lord will pick it up right there where you left it. He will say, because you have repented and come back to me, I will keep working with you. We will carry on with the plan, and I will fulfill it in your life. Somebody say amen. Maybe
amen.
I'm talking to
amen.
Somebody,
amen.
To a pastor amen. Or somebody that had a moral failure and that has been beaten, I don't know for how many years, thinking that you are rubbish, that you are garbage, that there is no way out. Look at Moses. Moses went up humbly and said, I'm sorry, Lord. And the Lord continue working with you, beloved. He is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for people willing to let him bless them and transform them according to his will. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
He's looking for sinners to forgive, beloved, amen, to accept. And he who goes to him, he will never push him away. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Beloved, 1,600 years later, we see Moses again. And in this time, we see him talking to Jesus. We thought it was over, and here he is again. The Bible says in Luke that Moses and Elijah, in Luke 9:30-31, appeared to Jesus in a glorious splendor. They were glorified. God glorified Moses. God rewarded Moses. And they were talking to Jesus about his departure that was going to take place in Jerusalem. Beloved, do you know what is the Greek word for departure in that verse? The Greek word is exodus. The word exodus is a Greek word. If there was somebody who could talk about exodus to Jesus, was Moses. Now these two men who were depressed and defeated in a mountain once upon a time, that were rejected by their own people, that were condemned by their own people, Moses and Elijah, that were alone in a mountain, were sent to comfort Jesus, who was going to be in a mountain, dying alone, rejected after performing miracles, just like Moses and Elijah. God chose two very, very imperfect men to comfort his son. You don't know the mistakes that you have made. If you stay with the Lord will use them. And you will comfort many people with the experiences you have gone through. And who knows, maybe one day you will comfort even God himself.
Amen.
Moses never thought that everything that he went through was preparing him to comfort God in his most difficult time of need. Never. He never saw himself glorified like this. Hold on. Don't give up on the Lord because the Lord hasn't given up on you. Amen, somebody. Stay with the Lord. I know that you are thinking that what you did was very bad. But I want to tell you that we have a God that is very good and that your sin is very big. But I am going to introduce to you a God that is bigger than your sin and that will use your mistakes in order to minister to somebody else, beloved. That failure will become your fuel. That thorn will become your throne. That cross will become your crown. And that pain will become your palm, and that trauma will become something beautiful, something powerful that will resurrect and heal a lot of people. Your mess will become your ministry. Nothing is going to be waste when you come back to the Lord, beloved. Moses never did know that. This is the God of the broken dreams, beloved. Let me close by telling you the following. While the children of Israel crossed the land going to the left, as we saw, they went from Beth Peor all the way to Jericho. Jericho was here. Now we cross the river, Jordan, and we get to the land. While the children of Israel were going to the promised land, Moses was going to the promised land in heaven. Moses died, but God resurrected him shortly after. Judas chapter 9, Judas is a tiny book of one chapter next to Revelation, before Revelation, that says that when Moses died, Satan came to fight for the body of Moses. And Michael came down to fight for the body of Moses because Satan didn't see when he repented. He only saw when he sinned. And he came and said, he is mine. I want him. But the Bible says that when Michael came, he didn't engage Satan. He didn't talk Satan. He didn't let Satan involve him, but rebuke him and said, may God rebuke you. At that moment, Jesus, God, resurrected Moses and took him with him. And that is why we see him next to Elijah, a man who didn't die, a man who went to heaven alive. Moses was resurrected and taken. And in the moment when Jesus was in bad trouble, we have Enoch. But Enoch had a perfect life. Enoch will not make it. I need somebody that has gone through hell and hot water, that have cried, that have gone crazy, that have been rejected, that have been mistreated and beaten, who has been experiencing the sting of ungratefulness. I need somebody that has performed miracles and is still, they will hate him. I need some, who can you tell me? Give me a name. And the angel said, Moses and Elijah. They went through the same thing that our Lord is going to go through. Moses and Elijah, go down. You are the perfect people. Let me tell you one thing. Your mistakes, the things that you have been beating you about for the last, I don't know how many years, are the same things that God wants you to give to him for him to be able to use those things to save others that are going to go through the same thing. And when he is there, he comforts the Lord and he tells them, I know where you are going. You know, and Luke is the only chapter, the only gospel that says what they were talking about. Matthew doesn't say, but Luke says that they were talking about the exodus of Jesus in Jerusalem. Listen, you're going to be alone. I know that it doesn't matter what you do. They will not believe you. They will not change, but keep doing it. You are doing it for the Lord, and you will be rewarded for it. This is them encouraging, nurturing Jesus. They are talking with him of their own experience of dying in a mountain alone or being desperate in a mountain alone. Beloved, while they were to the right, Moses went to the all the way up. Moses never thought that God had a bigger, more beautiful Canaan than he ever expected. Now I see why God said no so firmly. When God says no, it's because he has something better for you, beloved. Somebody say amen. And he says in Ephesians 20, 3:20, that he is able to carry out his purpose and superabundantly more than all we dare to ask or imagine, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is working through us. He says, my ways are not your ways. It is true, the Lord sometimes takes the less traveled roads, but he will take you to the final destination, to the fulfillment of his will that is always good, even though we don't understand it. Moses, when he got I wasn't expecting this. I thought I would go to earthly Canaan and then, you know, be there, see my great-grandchildren and then die. I never thought that I would be alive 1,600 years later, glorified and shining. The Lord wants to do the same with you. He wants to take you out of your desert into his promised land. And his promised land is way bigger. I don't know what you're praying for, and I don't know what the Lord has said no to. He has said no to me also. And I was praying for something since I was 18 in 1995, and the Lord answered me last week, beloved. Last week. Don't hold on. Don't give up. Don't give up. Trust in the Lord. We have seen this week how he took them for ways that they were incomprehensible. Sometimes it looked like God didn't know Egyptian geography. Are you sure you want to do this? I'm seeing water and you're telling me to walk through that? Do you know, it was a mess, but he knows what he is doing. Trust him. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. Let us ask the Lord to give us a heart like that he gave to Moses. And let us ask him to give us that humbleness for the Lord to guide us. He will guide you into a more beautiful, more splendorous, shining, bigger, more excellent promised land than you have ever asked or imagined. I don't know what it is. I don't know what is your broken dream, but God is able to give you much more than that broken dream. If he is saying no, if he's telling you will look at it, but don't go in, you will not go in. He has his reason. Sometimes he looks so distant and aloof. I read this text, but now I understand he had better plans for Moses. And he has better plans for you too. Trust in the Lord.
Amen.
With all your heart, even when you don't understand it, even if it hurts. And if it hurts, tell him, Lord, I don't like it, but I will keep going all the way up to the mountain. I don't know why you're doing this. I have been 40 years walking with you, and you know what happened. And people are talking about you, and people are showing you as you go along, your family, your loved ones distraught and destroyed while you are walking alone, while apparently others are going into the promised land. No, trust in the Lord. Fix your eyes on the Lord. Talk to the Lord, because the Lord has plans for you that not even death can destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. In the end, he gave Moses a more beautiful and unthinkable, unimaginable Canaan. And when you go to the British Museum, yes, in the exhibitions that we have of Egyptology, beautiful, you see there the mummy of Tutankhamun, Nefertiti, Ramesses, of many, many pharaohs. But you will not find the mummy of Moses.
Amen.
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 He wants to do the same thing with you. We pray that it will be done in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, fulfill your plans in your children. Bless them, protect them, and guide them. You have seen them crying and walking in the desert, but you have better plans. You have a bigger Canaan, more beautiful on this earth and in the world to come to. Give us that tenderness that you gave Moses, that humbleness to keep following you even when we have to climb that mountain, even when it means or seems to be the end of our most cherished and loved dreams. Help us to trust that you love us much more than we can ask or imagine, and that according to that same power, you will answer our prayers and fulfill your dreams in our lives beyond anything that we can ask or imagine. Father, give us that meek spirit. Give us a heart like that of Moses, to forgive and to bless, to pray for others. Give that spirit to us and to your children that are being probably bullied at work, minimized, humiliated. And remind them that even though the road doesn't make sense, you are in charge and guiding them. That you are Jehovah Almighty. That you are Elohim, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, in charge of our lives, Lord. Help us rest in you like Moses did. Father, I call on the name of Jesus for you to surprise your children today like you surprised Moses. We will ask him one day, what did you think when you opened your eyes and you saw this? Surprise your children, your sons, your daughters tonight. Father, let today be the day, Lord, that we will surrender our tears and wounds, the things that have been done to us and the things that we have done. That today will be that day when we will say, here it is, Lord, guide me according to your will, because your ways are higher than my ways and your plans are better than my plans. That you have my plans. That you have plans not to hurt us, but to prosper us and to give us even much more than we can expect. Help us, Lord. Give us peace. And we thank you for being so willing to take us out of our desert and into your promised land. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 Amen. Amen.